We continue on in our series today, going through the book of Exodus. We're in Exodus chapter 34. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you show us truth about yourself in your word. We thank you that you teach us about our relationship with you through your word. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored in this time that we have to read and study your word. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. So Israel has come through a rocky time. They betrayed God. They did the golden calf thing. They broke the covenant, and now they're rebuilding that relationship with God, or another way to put it is God is rebuilding the relationship. And I want to give you an idea of the gravity of what the people of Israel did. And I'm going to use an analogy, and it's going to be kind of a weird one to put yourself in these shoes. But think about this for a second. Let's say you're getting married. And for some of you, you're single, and maybe you look ahead to that day. For those of you who are married, pretend you're single. Okay, this is the only time you're going to hear this in church. Pretend you're single, and you get married, you go on your honeymoon, you come back, and you get ready to start your life together. You're excited. You got years ahead of you. And then all of a sudden, your spouse starts to put up pictures of ex-boyfriends or ex-girlfriends all over the walls and starts making phone calls to other men or other women. And then all of a sudden says to you, you know what? I'm going to go away for a weekend with this other guy or this other girl. Okay, how do you feel about that? How does God feel when he takes his people out of slavery in Egypt and they thank a golden calf for it? And they praise the golden calf. And the reason I bring this up, I know it's a weird thing for me to bring up, to use that illustration, but I want you to understand that is such a betrayal on the part of the people of Israel. And one of the interesting things you see all throughout Scripture is our relationship with God is compared to marriage all the time. And that's why God gives us marriage. It's not so that we can find our soulmate and cuddle and watch a movie together. That's not why God gives us marriage. He gives us marriage to demonstrate the relationship between him and his church. And we think it's all these other things, and Hollywood and Hallmark and everybody else makes something different about it. It's not that. It's about demonstrating the relationship between God and his people. And it's about loving another person. You don't get married to be loved, by the way. You get married to love. You can't make a promise for someone else. You can make a promise for yourself. And we have this thing in marriage, this exclusive relationship, and that's what the relationship with God is supposed to be. And in wedding ceremonies, you'll often hear this phrase in the vows. You'll hear them say, I promise to love, honor, and cherish. And part of the vows is usually forsaking all others. In other words, I'm off the market, right? I am only with you. Nobody else is going to have this relationship here. And that's what we're saying with God too. And so with that in mind, God is renewing this covenant. They broke it. They were unfaithful. And going into Exodus chapter 34, verse 10. And it says, then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land. For when they prostitute themselves to the gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same. Do not make cast idols. So we're going to stop there today. And here's the thing it says, don't make treaties with them. Well, I don't know about you, I've never been asked to make any kind of a treaty. I'm not a country. That's really not how it works. But I want you to think about how the people of Israel were formed, were brought together. They were supposed to be one nation in one piece of land. And they were not supposed to make treaties with these other peoples for fear that they would be drawn away. But we have a different situation. We are in the world. And we are spread out all over the world. And instead of living in one nation and God tells people to come to that nation, God tells us, go and make disciples of all nations. Go out. So we're sprinkled all over the world. Christians, that is. And we're in almost every country in this world. And our mission is to make disciples. So we're not going to go around smashing Buddhist temples and things like that, because that's really not what we're called to do in the New Testament. We're called to make disciples. But I want to read to you a section of one of Jesus' prayers from John 17. And he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for us. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. So we're supposed to be faithful to the Lord, and we don't want to do anything or engage in anything that pulls us away from God. And it says in this passage that God is jealous. And you hear those words and you think, that doesn't sound like a compliment to God. But it's not the petty jealousy that humans get involved with. It's not envy. Someone got a promotion that I didn't get. I'm envious. No, it's something different. It's being jealous for a person that belongs in relationship with you. So think of it this way. If somebody tries to lure my wife away, because I am jealous for my wife, I will stop that from happening. If someone tries to lure my kids away, because I'm jealous for my kids, I will not let that happen. So that's the sense that God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to be lured away because it hurts us. In the long run, that will be our downfall if we chase after something that is against God. And going on in this passage, it says here that they shouldn't marry the people that live in this land. These people worship other gods. And that's still a command for us today, to not marry people of another faith, because those people will pull us away from God. And the New Testament, it also teaches us, though, that if you are married to a person who's not a believer, you should stay married to that person. But if you are single and looking to get married, you look for someone with a like faith, with a faith that's the same as yours. And I remember I had a pastor who told me once, it's not only just the same faith. Look for somebody who has the same heartbeat for God, has the same passion for God that you have. But really, the point in all of it is don't engage in anything that's going to pull you away from God. Break down idols in your life. And, you know, in our culture, you know, it's not, we have a lot of different religions, we have a lot of different philosophies, a lot of different things, and they creep in, and we don't even realize that they creep in sometimes. You know, there's a word that I hear being thrown around all the time, and that word is karma. You hear that a lot. I had someone tell me once that the reason the Bruins won the Stanley Cup a few years ago was because of karma. I said, no, it's because Tim Thomas was a great goalie. That's why. But I don't know where he got that. But it's just thrown in like it's an actual thing. And here's where karma comes from. It comes from Buddhist and Hindu religions. And the idea is how you act in this life will affect how you are reincarnated in the next. So before you throw that word around, that's what it means. Don't let that one creep in. I think what people are saying when they talk about it, though, is the biblical principle of you reap what you sow. There are consequences to your actions. If you do something bad, there's a chance something bad might come back to you. But be careful about these things creeping in. We once had a person tell us when we were selling a house many years ago that if you put a statue of St. Joseph in the ground upside down in the lawn, your house will sell. We are not doing that in Northern Maine. We are praying to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're not going to trust in a statue in the ground. We're not doing that. But that's idolatry. That's trusting in some other power other than God. It's not cool. It's putting up a picture of your ex-boyfriend on the wall of your house when you're married. It's not cool. It's not how God wants us to be. And we do a lot of other things that have to do with luck and superstition. You know, people cross their fingers. I don't know what that does. People knock on wood. That's not even wood. Do you know why people knock on wood? It's because the Druids, people who were religious people in England, believed there were evil spirits in trees. And if you knocked on wood, it would get rid of the evil spirit. So don't knock on wood anymore. That's not good. Things like bad luck, things like unlucky number 13, things like walking under a ladder is bad luck. Well, you probably shouldn't walk under a ladder. That's probably dangerous. Black cats. I think all cats are unlucky. But no, none of them are unlucky. There's no such thing as luck. And you know what? One of the things I have found, and Christy's been learning more about this as Caleb's been growing up as a baseball player, baseball is like the most superstitious sport. And you'll notice, if you go to a Red Sox game, I want you to count how many baseball players running on and off the field step on the foul line. At the end of the game, the number will be zero. When I play in my games, I love to step on it just to get people a little upset. I probably shouldn't do that. But they're so superstitious. You've got to do the same things every day. But it's trusting in somebody else other than God. And then there's some more serious things, like palm reading, tarot cards, Ouija boards. That's trusting in another power. Horoscopes. It's trusting in somebody or something else other than God. And when you do this, when you pray to or trust in something else, you know who receives the praise? Satan. He is pleased with that when we do that, when we trust in someone else other than God. But it goes beyond that in our culture, because I think in our culture there's a bigger idol. And the idol is the things around us. You know, we have an epidemic in our country with addiction, with drug use, with alcoholism. That becomes an idol for people. We have things like TV, and TV in and of itself isn't bad. There are good things that happen on TV. We watched a good Christian movie last night, but it can become an idol. It can become too much. How about the internet? Good things. Facebook. Right? Okay? It says smash idols. Would you smash this? We don't want to smash that. Okay? It's good because you keep in touch with your family. You keep in touch with people, with your friends and people that you know. But you've seen stories in the news lately. People are getting injured walking around like this. Okay? That's going too far. Sports teams can become an idol. I heard an interview this past week with a football player, a former Patriot, who said that when he came to New England, he realized that people loved football, but the Red Sox, they're church. Those were his words. Red Sox are way up. I hope not. I hope they're not church. Self, pleasure, chasing after what makes you feel good. But ultimately, the big thing that Jesus talks about most, the topic that Jesus talks about most in the New Testament, is money and possessions. That's the biggest idol. And it takes a lot of different forms. Some people work themselves into the ground because work becomes an idol. And getting that money becomes an idol. And chasing after these things, money and the things that money can buy, that becomes an idol. You know, I told you, I've been down in Haiti a number of times. And in Haiti, there's not a lot of money. There's not a lot of possessions. And there's a whole different thing going on down there with idolatry. And you can see how Satan works differently in different cultures. In Haiti, they have voodoo. They have all these different gods and goddesses. They've infiltrated the Catholic Church. And they have people worshiping saints and Mary and different things like that. And playing voodoo drums and doing all these different things. And calling on demons. They have this happening down there. In our country, though, Satan would rather convince people he doesn't exist and just say, here's a few more dollars. Here, go on this nice trip. Here, get this new gadget. And just anything that lures us away from God. But it's not worth it. It's a cheap substitute. You know, I was trying to think this week of things that you were hoping to get and then you got the substitute instead. And it's just a downer. It's like when you're waiting, you're hoping for that chocolate chip cookie and you put it in your mouth and it's oatmeal raisin. Right? Don't you hate it when that happens? Cheap substitutes. Right? I don't know if that was the best example, but the Lord doesn't need a substitute. The Lord is already, he's better than chocolate chip cookies. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, we live in a culture where people will tell you, it doesn't matter how you get to the top of the mountain, just get there. You can worship this God or that God or this belief system or that belief system. Worship yourself, worship the tree, worship whatever you want, as long as you get to the top of the mountain. But I'm here to tell you, you don't get to the top of the mountain. You don't get there any other way than through Jesus. And what God is teaching the people of Israel in this passage and us is about relationship. It's an exclusive relationship. And God wants all your eggs in one basket. And he wants all of your heart, all of your faith. And I heard a pastor say once, he made this statement, and I thought about it a lot. He said, God plus anything ruins everything. So if I'm going to believe in God and my horoscope, then I'm not believing in God. If I'm believing in God and the St. Joseph statue in my lawn, I'm not believing in God. I'm not putting all my trust and all my faith in him. God wants all your eggs in his basket. He is where you find fulfillment and joy and life and everything. Eternal life. C.S. Lewis gave an example, and I'm going to put this in American English as opposed to British English format. But he said this. He said, when we chase after another God, it's like this. It's like a little kid playing in a puddle on the sidewalk out in front of his house, and his parents want to take him to a Caribbean vacation, and he doesn't want to go because he loves his puddle. These other things in the world, they're just puddles. God has so much more that he has to give us. And you know, a couple weeks ago I talked about relationship, and you know, it occurred to me, I didn't talk about how to build that relationship. How do we build that relationship? There's a great way to do it right here. I've heard people say to me, God doesn't speak to me. And I think I've told you that. That's when I pulled all my hair out. When someone says to me, God doesn't speak to me. He has spoken to you in 1,000 pages worth of words. You know, I remember when Christy and I were first dating, and I think I've told you this, but she's a night person. She still is. I'm a morning person, still am. And she used to send me emails late at night, like midnight, and I would get up at 5 or 6, and I'd read them at 5 or 6, and we would look forward to each other's emails. God has sent us a 1,000-page email. This is how we build our relationship, by reading his word. And by being in prayer, and not just saying your prayers, and it's important to say your prayers, but I'd rather you just be in prayer all day, constantly, looking for God's hand in everything around you, seeking God in everything that you do, and remembering this, we are in an exclusive relationship with God. That is our primary relationship in life. And if there's something that is pulling you away from God, find a way to fix that. Bring yourself back to God, because his relationship, our relationship with him, matters most. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this relationship that we have with you. Lord, forgive us that we are easily distracted by idols and things in our culture. And Lord, we pray that we would never settle for the idol, that we would settle for you. More than, we don't settle for you, Lord. We trust in you. We put our hope in you. Our joy is in you. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.